favorable to his devotees, and he is not at all sad. satisfied with persons who are envious of his devotees. As Lord Himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone, I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend is in me, and I am also a friend to him. The Supreme Lord has no enemy or friend, but he is inclined towards a devotee who always engages in devotional service. Similarly elsewhere in the Gita it is said, those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demonic species of life. The Lord is extremely antagonistic towards those who are envious of his devotees. To protect his devotees, the Lord sometimes has to kill their enemies. For example, the Prahlad Maharaj, the Lord had to kill his enemy Hiranyakasipu. Although Hiranyakasipu attained salvation because of being killed by the Lord. Since the Lord is the witness of everyone's activities, he witnesses the activities of the demons, the enemies of his devotees, and he's inclined to punish them. In other cases, however, he simply witnesses what the living entities do and gives the results of one's sinful or pious actions. Translation, for the living entity, no one is dear, nor is anyone unfavorable. He makes no distinction between that which is his own and that which belongs to anyone else. He is one without a second. In other words, he is not affected by friends and enemies, well-wishers and mishtamongers. He is only an observer, a witness of the different qualities of men. So previously, the Atma was described in relation to his material body, and how he moves about from body to body, and then it described the qualities of the soul apart from that body being eternal, very small, taking different bodies, being self-manifesting in knowledge, etc. It also mentions he was Prabhu or master. And of course, for the Jiva, he is master of his material body. However, we can take that same verse and understand these are qualities of the Supreme Lord. And that becomes more apparent here with some of these qualities mentioned here. He is the witness of all the activities, and he is indifferent to all the activities. This can apply to a realized soul who understands it's not the body, but it equally applies to the Supreme Lord as Paramatma, who is the witness within the body, and also is unattached to all of the material qualities and material bodies, etc. So, no one is dear and no one is unfavorable. In other words, one expresses no hatred or attachment to anything in the material world. Unfortunately, we don't see this in most of the jivas because their desire to enjoy is reflected by the material body, which is subject to desire, hatred, etc. So, ultimately, of course, we call the jiva separate from his body, but because of this identification with the body, the jiva falls into all sorts of illusions. And therefore, he doesn't think in terms of this is not me at all. He thinks of his material body. And consequently, he doesn't think like this, that nothing is favorable or unfavorable. When he does separate himself from his material conceptions, then he can think like that. So this is described in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna describes the Sthita Pragya, one who's situated in wisdom. So he's like a tortoise who withdraws his limbs from material world. That's the one who draws one's senses from material objects. And nothing is cause for joy, nothing is cause for lamentation for that person. So this will describe such a person, but not the other persons who are attached to the material bodies. ultimately, of course, because the soul is not the body, we could say in its pure state, this is how the jiva should act. And he is simply an observer of all of the actions in the material world, not taking anyone as a friend or enemy or whatever. This is natural to the Supreme Lord. He is in no way affected by anything. So we know one of the qualities, six qualities of the Lord is vairagya, which literally means non-attachment. So the Lord is never touched by anything in the material world, never attracted by anything in this material realm. That's his vairagya, or his detachment. On the other hand, we see the jivas in the material world do develop attraction, command, repulsion, etc. And this is the case of King Chitraketu. He became attached to his son was lost, then he lamented. So, on the other hand, the jiva can attain this type of state also, being completely detached from everything in the material world. And once he gets that position, then that becomes eternal. By the mercy of the Lord, if the jiva attains separation from his material body, the Lord guarantees that he never returns to the misconceptions of ignorance. So it is possible for the jiva to do that. But even then, he never becomes the Lord. His nature is quite different, even in his liberated state or his initiative state. He is different from the Supreme Lord. He's still jiva. Which means, dependent on the Lord. So, the Lord has similar qualities to the jiva, like these qualities here are mentioned as part of the Lord's qualities. And when the jiva attains these qualities, we cannot say the jiva becomes equal to the Lord. Because some qualities never change. So that one quality which never changes is that the jiva is dependent on the Lord. That never changes. By his nature, he is dependent on the Supreme Lord. So that is that quality never changes. So even in the liberated state, the jiva is still tatastha shakti. However, in that state, he never falls into ignorance. So he attains this state of being an observer and not affected by anything in the material world. So he develops that vairagya state of the Supreme Lord also. But never does he have the same nature as the Supreme Lord. So he develops qualities similar to the Lord. At the same time, there are qualities he cannot have. So we know from the Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami describes qualities of the Lord, 64 qualities. And then he describes four persons for Krishna. Then he describes other qualities which Vishnu can have. And then other qualities which Shiva can have. And then other qualities which the jiva can also share. So the jiva gets 50 qualities. But even then, little bit of those qualities, very little, in comparison to the Supreme Lord. So yes, he's similar, but in a small way. So the jiva can have all these wonderful qualities like the Supreme Lord, but at the same time, they are minute in comparison to that Lord's qualities. And then some qualities cannot have at all. He cannot create universes. Like Mahavishnu, he cannot create universes. He cannot do that. So though the jiva does obtain some very high position, and he gets Sarupya, Salokya, Samipya, and Sarsti, wonderful qualities, some qualities he cannot get. So that distinguishes jiva from the Supreme Lord. Even in the liberated state. So, therefore, by constitution, jiva and Supreme Lord are separate. At the same time, there is great similarities. And because of the similarities, there is relationship. In the material world, we have a relationship with the body, which is material, and material objects in the material world. The jiva is not similar to these objects in the body because the body is achit, objects are achit, unconscious, and the jiva is conscious, so they're quite different. So such relationships aren't failures to try to establish a relationship with the body and to other objects in this world. Because Jiva is quite unlike these things. The only way he can get a semblance of happiness is under illusion. Then he identifies with matter rather than the spirit. Then he can be happy to some degree. But that also is an illusion. So, when a jiva comes out of illusion, then he understands he is not material at all. He is a conscious particle. And if he has great knowledge and awareness, then he understands the Supreme Lord is also a conscious particle. But he is vibhu. He's a conscious entity who is all-powerful. Still, they can have a relationship because qualities are similar. So these are some of the qualities, eternal, conscious, and self-revealing, etc. So there is no obstacle to having a relationship with the Supreme Lord because of the common qualities. So that relationship leads to satisfaction of the jiva. It also leads to bliss in the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is by nature blissful in himself. So the question would be asked, how does he become blissful by having a jiva who serves him? That would make the Lord dependent on another entity, where he is the Lord's independent. And the jiva is dependent. So, though that is so, at the same time, the Lord has qualities which look contradictory. But these are resolved in the Supreme Lord. So though the Lord is independent, he comes under the control of devotees and devotion. And he becomes dependent on them. That in no way interferes with his independence, but yet, by his great mercy, the Lord becomes dependent upon the devotees. So that is the contradictory nature of the Supreme Lord. These contrary qualities can exist in the Supreme Lord. So this is part of this achintya, or inconceivable aspect. So, and it is by this mercy that the Lord is attracted to devotees, and falls under control of the devotees, and it is also the cause of the greatest bliss for the jiva and the Supreme Lord. Nevertheless, the relationship of the Lord being independent and the jiva being dependent is never lost in any of these cases. So by the lila shakti of the Lord, all of this is accomplished. Lord becomes dependent on the Lord. So, the jivas in the material world have to develop this proper knowledge of themselves, separate from the body, and at the same time, related to the Supreme Lord, as Krishna Das. But that is real knowledge. Once we get that knowledge, we can work on destroying the connections with our material consciousness by strengthening our relationship with the Lord. And that is the means of developing our knowledge to realization. So in other words, the strengthening of a relationship with the Lord is called bhakti yoga. By this, we accomplish destruction of attachment to the material world, misconception that I am the body, etc., which is the goal of jnana and yoga. So that is accomplished while we also accomplished our relationship with the Lord and perfect that relationship. So bhakti does two things. It destroys the material connection and produces the connection with the Supreme Lord. So this is a complete process. And this process does not depend on other processes. It can be done independently. If it is done along with other processes, the other processes can be used as long as they don't have other goals in mind. And then it can still be called pure bhakti. And if we also don't do those other methods or whatever instead of do bhakti, there is no harm in that also. That is also pure bhakti. So in either case, the idea is we have to do pure bhakti, and this will establish our relationship with the Lord, and that will become perfect. If we don't do pure bhakti, then we can establish a relationship, but it does not reach the highest state. They get stuck halfway. Secondary to the relationship with the Lord, in correspondence to the Lord's pastimes, they have relationships. So in Vrindavan, there are elder cowherd men and women married, and they have children who are cowherd boys. So yes, they have affection for those children, but all that affection is related to affection for Krishna, because the children are also related to Krishna as his friends, and they treat Krishna as their child also. So everything is related to Krishna. Usually the jivas that go to the spiritual world may have a lesser position in relation to the Lord, but that cannot be said also. Some can get a very high position also. Depends on their aspirations and their sadhana, and then they can get a very high position in the spiritual world also.
So does sadhana continue in the...
No, it's not sadhana anymore. It is sadhya, it is perfection. It's not practice for anything. Yes.
Can we, after getting the position there, after knowing that there are so many things, is there a possibility they could change them?
No.
Remember, by the nature of the entire creation, the Lord is eternal, the jivas are eternal, but some of the jivas are nitya bhajas eternally, and some are nitya siddhas. So in that way, when you see that the Lord is a little bit partial towards the jivas to make them nitya vadas and nitya siddhas.
Well, he didn't make them, they're always eternal.
The eternal arrangement is for the pleasure of the Lord.
Huh? No, it's for the decision of the jiva. Usually the nitya siddhas accompany the Lord when he comes.
How to balance business activities and spiritual activities?
Well, that's the choice of every person, how much spiritual life he wants and how much material life he wants. That's all. And how much he wants to dedicate himself to Krishna, and how much he wants to progress, that's up to him. But in any case, he's not too attached to that. Material activities he should strive for becoming more attached to Krishna.
Service to Krishna.